Army Reserve Basic Training, summer of 1983. I had just turned 17 that February and had just completed my junior year in high school. I took part in something at that time was called split training, in which you take basic training during the summer between your junior and senior years of high school. You come back and then you take the last year of high school, and then you go off that summer to AIT, or Advanced Individual Training. When that was complete, you hopefully join the rest of your fellow teenagers in time to start college in the fall. Now, Army Reserve Basic Training at Fort Knox, Kentucky, was the same as regular basic training with regular duty soldiers. There were many fellow privates that had plans to go on to jump school or whatever, so it wasn't any different for me than it was for anyone else. The sawdust pits were aggravating and they were itchy, and they were a great equalizer. And if you've ever watched the movie Stripes with Bill Murray, much of that movie was filmed on the Army base at Fort Knox. Now, the reason that I bring this up is that one of the things that I learned way back then has stuck with me all of these years. It was something that my drill sergeant told me. And even though I was only 17 years old at that time, he very quickly made me one of his squad leaders. And in one of those one-on-one meetings that I had with him, when I was struggling to make up my mind on something, struggling to make a decision, he gets right into my face and he says, "You will never be criticized for making a decision. For making the wrong decision, maybe. But for making a decision, never." In all of the things from basic training, that has stuck with me all of these years. Conservative Lutheranism has fought a hard fight against decision theology. We hear the words often in the language of the South. "I've made a decision for Christ. I've decided to follow Jesus." People make that decision firmly believing that this is their doing, and they receive baptism as a sign of their commitment to God, an act of their will and their obedience. We Lutherans are quick to fire back that dead men cannot make decisions, citing that we are dead in our trespasses and sins, from Ephesians chapter 2, and that we're saved not a result of our own doing, but as a gift of God, so that no man can boast. But then we come across a passage like the one from Deuteronomy, our Old Testament lesson from today, that clearly says that we are to make a decision, to choose between life and death, blessing and curse. So how do we reconcile that God demands us to make a choice with the doctrine that we so firmly believe in and that we believe is based on what the Bible teaches? So what does our doctrine, the Book of Concord, say about this subject? It is basically covered under the sections about free will. Now, man's free will has four stages that he has or will evolve through. The first was before the fall in the garden. The second is after the fall. The third is after spiritual regeneration or the coming to faith. And the fourth is after the resurrection. The stage that we are going to be most concerned about today is the second stage, after the fall and before coming to faith. It is here that conservative Lutherans believe and confess that human reason and understanding are dead in spiritual matters. The Apostle James, the brother of Christ, writes that the body apart from the spirit is dead. From the beginning of time, God saw that the intention of man's heart is evil from its youth. Genesis 8, verse 21. The psalmist writes, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies." Psalm 58, verse 3. And Paul writes in his very first letter to the Corinthian church that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The Book of Concord then confesses that as little as a corpse can make itself alive for the bodily, earthly life, so little can people who through sin are spiritually dead raise themselves up to spiritual life. As it is written, "When we were dead through our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ." Ephesians 2:5. So then we can stand by our earlier statement, dead men cannot make decisions. But we have a God who is merciful, gracious, and desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. From 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God doesn't want us to stay at that second stage. So he reaches out to us through means, word and sacrament, and believers spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And to those who don't have the opportunity to hear the word, Edward Kohler writes in his book, Summary of Christian Doctrine, that God uses conscience, nature, and history to teach not only the existence of God, but also that he is a living God, that he is almighty, that he is wise, that he is good to his creatures, that he is holy and just, commanding and rewarding what is good, and forbidding and punishing what is evil. End quote. The knowledge of God and the very existence of God should stir up within man the desire to seek him to learn who he is. And if they fail to do that, then we let the words of Romans chapter 1, verse 20 be our God, our guide. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Without Christ, without the Holy Spirit acting through means, we are lifeless. No choices, no decisions. So as we get back to the original question, God is asking the Israelites, he's asking us to choose between life and death, good and evil, blessing and curse. And I alluded to the answer to this earlier. The Israelites and us are not at stage two, but we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ in our baptism, been given the gift of faith through the water and the word. We have moved on from stage two to stage three. And in stage three, we are able, with the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to make decisions about spiritual matters. Hear what the Book of Concord says about this. "For when the Holy Spirit has effected and accomplished new birth and conversion, and has altered and renewed the human will solely through his divine power and activity, then the new human will is an instrument and tool of God the Holy Spirit, in that the will not only accepts grace, but also cooperates with the Holy Spirit in the works that proceed from it." The decisions that we make to have devotions, to go to church, to go to Sunday school, to speak kindly about your neighbor instead of gossiping, those are real life decisions. The person who has resisted the work of the Holy Spirit and hasn't come to faith, really only knows one way, one path. They simply walk down the road that they know. But we who have come to faith have a choice, a real choice. We can drown that old Adam every morning. But beware, it's not always easy. The old Adam is a great swimmer. But we can stand in the shower each morning and just wash the dirt away, or we can make a decision, a theological decision, and choose to wash that old Adam away and step out of that shower a new man or a new woman, ready to meet the day head on. This is a real choice that we can make with the help of the Holy Spirit. My drill sergeant told me that many years ago, you will never be criticized for making a decision, for the wrong decision maybe, but for making a decision, never. God has called us and equipped us to make that decision. He says to us in Deuteronomy, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. So, today, don't be that 17-year-old private, hesitating, not knowing what to do. Make the right decision. Choose life. And to God be the glory. Amen.